How are you guys doing with your hope and your peace and your joy? We're continuing on in God's Purpose Brings Peace of Mind. And that's the series that we're on. We took a brief step away from it last week, as Jim shared in my absence. But how is it possible to have peace in the midst of the problems that we're facing today? Right? I mean, this last week, I don't know about you, but when you're sick, there's not a lot to do. And so I watched a little more TV and watched a little more news than I think I ever have in my life. And I got to tell you, it was awful. At one point, I just had this, I was just like, ah. When I watched the news, I think there was probably, in all the time I watched news, there was maybe two stories that were positive that I can remember. And the rest of it was just this negativity and all this junk. And with what's happening politically, it was just a reminder of all the bitterness and really the lives that are just so focused on anger and what's wrong. And I'm just thinking that, you know what? We have so much to be thankful for. We are so blessed. And sometimes when you have an abundance of things, and when you have so much, sometimes it's easy to get focused on the minor things and forget all the blessings that we have. And as I've been blessed to travel around the world and spend some time in different countries, I've just been reminded of how even our poor people, so many of them are so rich compared to the so many people around the world. And we have so much to be thankful for. But there's so many voices that are coming in and challenging to bring negativity into our lives. 1 Peter 3, starting in verse 8, is where we're starting today. And it says this, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind." All of you should be of one mind. Guys, that's not saying we need to all think the same thing, but we need to get together even in our areas of discord. We need to have a respect and a love for each other and appreciation for each other. Then it says, sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. We're not seeing a lot of that, are we? But what happens if the church starts showing by example what it means to love in the midst of discord? What happens if we start seeing, starting with us, starting with the churches in this community and all around the world, where the church starts living out loving others well? It says, be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Now that sounds really nice, doesn't it? Somebody insults you and you pay them back with a blessing. How hard is it to do that in real life? Oh my goodness. I mean, it is shocking. There are so many challenges of where the rubber meets the road of life. When there is a struggle, when people are coming at us, our nature, by just our flesh, wants to do what? Retaliate. We want to get back. We want to get even. And there's such a desire to repay evil with evil. But it says, instead, pay them back with a blessing. What does a blessing look like when somebody comes at you? Maybe it's silence. That can be a blessing. I know at times when somebody has said something rude to me, if I say what's in my heart at the moment, about 5 seconds later, I'm regretting what I said. So it's taking a moment. Stop. Pray. Take a breath. Have, you know, God, give me the strength not to react here. Let me love this person. Bring God into the equation. Bring God into the situation. God, give me the strength right now to love this person. Not be fake, because fakeness can be seen. So it's not put on a fake smile and give them a rude kind of half-cocky look. It's love them in the Lord, either in silence or in word. Maybe asking them, how are things going? What's going on? Is there anything I can do? Sharing love, being treating them well, pay them back with a blessing. I think one of the best things we can do there to pay them back with a blessing is say a prayer for them. To turn to God. And man, when I come to the foot of Christ, when I pray, now all of a sudden I'm seeing that person not as somebody who's against me, but I'm seeing them as a brother or sister. I'm seeing them as somebody that was created in the image of God. And now my heart can honestly pray for them, honestly and openly. Pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you his blessing. So his blessing is giving us what? The strength to turn to him to bring the blessing to other people. Guys, one of the ways that we see healing in the spheres of influence around us is by us allowing God to change us on the inside so that we can bring that blessing out to other people and to encourage them. Philippians 2 says it like this: therefore, if any of you have encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, and if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. I love that. By being like-minded and having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Guys, we find joy by giving our lives away. We find joy by serving and loving other people, even when it's hard, even when there might be a little bit of friction. You'll never find happiness and joy in pleasure, power, and possessions, and stuff. The things that this world says is what you aim for, it's going to leave us empty. Permanent, ongoing joy only comes when we give our lives away in service of the Lord. So this Christmas, man, it's so, you know, I think of the story of Mary and Martha, where as Jesus is with them and Martha is getting all the stuff ready and getting the food ready and getting all the stuff ready, and Mary is at the feet of Jesus. Remember that? And then Martha's kind of annoyed with Mary, and she's like, what's going on here? Jesus, fix her. Tell her what's right. And Jesus says, hey, Mary's chosen what's best. And so this Christmas, it's often that we get focused on the to-do list and getting all this stuff done. But I want to encourage us, this Christmas, as we're doing the stuff, what Mary did was not bad, it was good. But as we're doing the stuff, as we're getting ready, let's bring in that Mary principle, which is also spending time remembering who we're doing it for and why we're doing it. And so this Christmas, as you're getting family together, just an encouragement, really bring Christ into the focus of our time. And as you're sitting down to dinner, rather than just a prayer, really having, maybe finding some fun games. If you have young kids, doing games that involve them kind of talking about Jesus and maybe discovering a few things. One of the things that we had with our family is it sounds a little silly, but at the first part, but my mom would take a little baby Jesus and she would hide it in the house. And she, as her kids got older, she realized her kids, who were now moms and dads, still loved to find baby Jesus. Because she would hide baby Jesus in the house, and then we'd all go looking. And then she had one for the adults as we got older and one for the kids. And as we would find, whoever found the baby Jesus, everybody would get a gift as the finding of Christ. And then there'd be a special gift for whoever found baby Jesus. And then we'd talk about it afterwards and share a little bit. So we just have kind of a fun game. I did notice, I've got to confess to you guys, as I got older, as you guys know, my mother passed away this last year. And so I don't know what we're going to do about baby Jesus now. But until then, even until last year, when my mom would hide baby Jesus, I just want to say, some of my brothers and their wives got a little violent in looking for the baby Jesus, in trying to nudge me out of the way as we're looking through all this stuff. And I have to confess, I wasn't perfectly innocent in the situation either. But man, finding ways to bring Christ in, finding ways to have fun and to celebrate Christ and to bring it to our kids in ways that they can connect with and understand. Because God wants us to be like Him. He wants us to know His peace and His joy. And peace and joy only come from Him. Only come from Him. Not from the things of this world, not from accomplishments. We've seen people who have accomplished so much who come to the end and realize, what's life for? Because if you've achieved more than you've ever dreamed of and you're still unsatisfied, what do? Where do you go from there? The only place to go is Christ. It's the only place to go. He's the way to find joy. So how do we do that? We first got to get our minds off ourselves, our eyes off ourselves in service. We have to be willing to be used by God, to be living sacrifices. And guys, what does a living sacrifice sound like? Does a sacrifice sound really nice and easy and fun? A sacrifice is painful. When we're called to sacrifice for each other, when we're called to give of ourselves, when we're called to give a blessing even when insults are being hurled on us, that kind of sacrifice costs. And I promise you, in the moment, it's hard to do every time. Every single time, it's hard to do. The more we focus on ourselves, the more miserable we become. To find real joy, we've got to shift our vision and our how we're looking to from a self-focus, and we have to shift it to an outward focus, number one, on Christ, and then serving God and others. And when we serve, when we give of our time, when we have a smaller church family, don't we? I love the fact that for the vast majority, we know each other's names. There's a blessing in being in a family where you know people, where we get to walk side by side. I've been a part of a big church only for a short time in my life. And one of the things that was really hard for me when I was pastor there, one of the pastors, was that people would come up to me and they'd say, "Pastor Matthew, how you doing?" I'd say, "Hi, you. How are you doing?" And not only did I not know, I didn't even recognize them visually. It wasn't that I forgot a name. It was I wouldn't have known that they were in our church. Now, there's some blessings that go with a big church. There's some great things that happen. But there's also some blessings that go with a smaller church. And so, guys, we have an opportunity to really walk side by side with each other and to give of ourselves and pour ourselves into each other's lives. And I got to tell you, from what I've seen with the different studies and Bible studies and time spent with each other, some of that's happening, but there's still room for growth, isn't there? I've been talking with a few of you, and there's a hunger. Pastor, how do we get this deeper? How do we get more involved in the church? How do we get in the way where we start living our lives more together, where we start sharing our lives together more? In not just on Sundays and maybe a couple other, but really investing in being there and walking side by side. Our society screams, it's all about you. And that's a lie from the enemy. It's not all about us and what we want. The Bible says, I will rejoice even if I lose my life. I love that. I will rejoice even if I lose my life. The truth is, the most helpful people are the happiest, most joyful people who are at peace. In a world that is screaming for peace and joy, that is just hungry to have a sense of security and peace and a joy that comes from that, we have that in Christ. We have that. One of the things for this last week that I can't tell you, there were some times when you're sick, you can feel real sorry for yourself. You know, you can really get self-focused. And so I'm speaking this after a week of, you know, Julie come home and she's been working hard all day. I've been lying down the whole day and I'm like, honey, hi, can you come here? And, you know, I'm also a big baby when I get sick. So, can you come here? I just, you know, just need to be, you know, touched and water and, you know, loved on. And, but what if we have that heart where rather than kind of the extreme of the being sick and even taken to an everyday life where we're focused on having our own needs met, what if something changes and we start caring for others more than ourselves? To use our gift to help others. God blesses you so you can bless others. It is truly a blessing. Philippians 2, 5 through 7, as we continue in that Philippians, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. I love that part. Think about that. He made him God of all creation, who created everything we see, who gave us the minds to think and to develop and to create. God of all creation, he humbled himself and became flesh, became human. Not only that, he comes to Mary and Joseph. An interesting situation in that culture, a couple that's engaged to be married. They haven't been together sexually, and yet here she is with child. In that culture, she could have been killed. And yet Joseph stays with her because he's told by an angel what to do. And he raises Jesus as his own. Jesus is born, God become flesh, lives a life without sin. We can't go a day without our thoughts betraying us, can we? Lives a life without sin. But see, just like we're called to live with a purpose, Christ came with his purpose. It says that God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He humbled himself and became flesh, and he lived a life without sin. And then his purpose was not only to spend the time with the people for those 33 years, but it was all directing to the cross. It was all directing to come to a time where he would die for my sin, for your sin. Because our sin has to be dealt with. Guys, all we have to do is look out into the world and we see how much sin there is. We're inundated by awful stories. We've had more killings in schools and more shootings and more this and more that. And there's just so much anger and hatred. Jesus came to give his life away. And he's the example. And that's what it means to be servants and to give our lives away and to be living sacrifices who give our lives living sacrifices. How we live is by helping and blessing others and doing things for other people. I love what 1 Peter 4:8 says. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. I don't know about you, but that brings me peace and joy. God's love covers a multitude of sins. Your sin, my sin. Guess what? If you're in Christ, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all your sins, past, present, and future are what? Covered by the love of Christ, by his death, burial, and resurrection. And he ascended to prepare a place for us to be with him for eternity. And that is an incredible gift that we have to look forward to. Back to 1 Peter 3. It continues on in verse 10, the second part. It says, if you want to enjoy life, if you want to have joy, we've talked about peace. If you want to have joy, enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. You see, the mouth reveals what's in the heart, right? If you've got anger and bitterness in your heart, if you've been hurt by somebody and you haven't forgiven them, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? Even if you say something nice about a person that you haven't forgiven, guess what happens? It turns into a backhanded slap, a backhanded compliment. Have you heard those compliments? You know, that sound like it's being nice, but are said in a way to really just put you down or put somebody else down. That's not what we're called to do. The heart is revealed by what comes out of our mouths. And so this is how I know if I've forgiven somebody, because I've forgiven a lot of people with my mouth before I forgave them from my heart. I have forgiven people because I'm supposed to forgive them in Christ, right? You been there? I forgive them. I forgive you. Does that sound like forgiveness right there? Man, forgiveness comes from the heart, and the heart is revealed by what comes out of the mouth. And the way I've been able to tell whether I've truly forgiven somebody, do I desire blessing for them? Because we're supposed to respond in blessing, right? And so when I forgive, if I've truly forgiven from Christ through me, when I think about that person, I desire what's best for them. And so if you can think of people that you've forgiven because you were supposed to, but as you think about them, you're still thinking, God, I'm not supposed to take vengeance, but you can. Go get them. But I forgive them. That's not really forgiveness, is it? And so we desire blessing. It's in our soul. It's our greatest desire. And all of a sudden, instead of wanting God to bring the heat, there's a desire for God to bring the grace and mercy and truth and love and bring transformation to their lives so they can have the peace and the joy of Christ that only comes from his love. And knowing it personally. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. And it says, turn away from evil and what? Do good. Do good. So it's not just from what we say and what we think, but then how we live, our hands and our feet, how we serve follows from our heart and what we say and into our hands and what we do. And when there's true blessing, not only are we praying for the blessing of others, but we start serving people. It doesn't mean we become a doormat to other people. God's never called us to be a doormat, to be used by other people. But he has called us to be loved and living sacrifices. And to give of ourselves and to keep forgiving and to keep loving in the name of Christ. Search for peace and work to maintain it. That's interesting, isn't it, there? After we've given of ourselves and we're turning away from evil and we're doing good, it says search for peace. In other words, peace is sometimes a little hard to find. Sometimes we do need to search the heart of Christ, the mind of Christ, the word of God. Search for peace and work to maintain it. So when they say the next thing, it's not just one more thing in this giant bowl that we've put all their insults from that are boiling over already, that we stir in anger and it's one more thing to add to the pot. But we empty the pot out and then we search for peace and we desire to maintain it. That means when it happens again, we forgive them again. And then it happens again and what do? We forgive as Christ forgave us. And that's where our peace and our joy comes from. And if we've got peace and joy, Now what happens? As it's working out into what we do, we start serving in ways that make no sense to the world. We start serving in ways that people are like, there's something different. It's not just doing nice things, but it's loving people in real ways and sharing truth and love with them in ways that touch them uniquely and bless them. Then it says, after it says, search for peace and work to maintain it, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. He's watching over us. And when our hearts are right, we start doing right, and we're in fellowship with God. And his eyes are on us, and he's showing us the way. He's showing us the way to go. And his ears are open to their prayers. I gotta tell you guys, there have been times in my life where I've honestly felt like God's ears are closed to my prayers. There's times where I've just been so down, so discouraged, where I share it with God, my heart, and it doesn't seem like anything is changing. But something happens over time in those situations. As I bear my soul before God, as I'm real with him, as I share not what I'm supposed to sound like as a Christian, but as I share who I am and what I feel from my soul, and I'm honest, because God doesn't want us to be religious with him. He wants us to be real and authentic with him so we can grow in him. And when I share not what I think he wants to hear, but how I really feel and what I'm thinking, something happens in me. I change. And I'm filled with the presence of God, and his eyes are on me. And all of a sudden, something happens. Maybe the situation around me doesn't change, but guess what changes? Me. I change. Because his ears have been open to me, his eyes have been on me, and now I'm starting to experience that blessing of, I'm praying for these situations. Some of them might change, some of them might, but God is changing my heart and my mind. Whew. Now, there's a joy that wasn't there. There's a peace and a joy that is now there, and it's from Christ. And now I had my eyes focused on myself. I was discouraged, but I was real with God. And now I'm experiencing his eyes and ears on me, blessing and giving me blessing. His eyes are on us, watch over us, those direct, his ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Just a reminder, right? Now, he doesn't turn his heart from us in Christ. But man, I want to be able to look Christ eye to eye. Have you ever looked in the mirror when you're struggling with sin and you just, it's hard to look at yourself and you just kind of, you just have to look down because you know what you believe and how you're living are not meshing. They're not, something's amiss. And you look at yourself in the mirror and I want to be able to look at God eye to eye. I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not that we've done everything perfectly, but we keep going in the right direction. And when we stumble and fall, we get back up and we're back serving and doing and giving, experiencing the joy and the peace of Christ. Because it's a long journey, guys. It's not a sprint. It is a long run. But what happens when we hear, well done, my good and faithful servant? And that those words we'll hear if we get our eyes off of ourselves onto Christ so that we can see the people around us, see the needs around us. And even when words are coming at us that are hard to hear, we can love others well and bring blessing into their lives. So this Christmas, you're going to be with family. I want to end with this. You're going to be with family. Who's the hardest people to live out your faith with? Family! Especially when you're adult, because I'm Pastor Matthew here. When I go home, I'm the youngest brother of three boys. You think that changes because I'm a pastor? Oh, no. I'm still Matthew, little brother. Man, it is so easy to react
act in that situation. Because I want to be Matthew, pastor, right? I'm a pastor now. No, I'm not up to them. I'm a little brother still. And so now, rather than trying to establish my ground, what if this Christmas I love my brothers well? And even when the ribbing starts, and some of it's in good fun, but some of it's from that old pain. You know what I'm talking about? Those old wounds that haven't quite fully healed all the way. And sometimes a little wrong word here, or wrong word there, all of a sudden brings up all this. Oh, what if we go home this Christmas, and rather than getting in arguments about politics, rather than trying to get our voice heard and make sure our understanding of what's right and wrong is made clear to everyone, what if we, rather than choose to be right, we choose to be loving? What if we love well and we experience peace and joy this Christmas with our families? Guys, it's going to change everything around us. And that is a purpose worth living. When all of a sudden, when our eyes are on Christ, now our purpose is not for us feeling good, but we will experience peace and joy because we're loving well and we're serving others and we're giving our lives away. And we're even giving our lives away to the people who it's hardest to give them away to, which is family and close, close friends who have known us for years and years and years. So this Christmas, let's spend some time in prayer over the next couple weeks. Lord, help me love my family well. Help me love my close friends well. Let me have a servant's heart for them. Let me not try and be right. Let me be loving. Man, what would happen this Christmas if all of a sudden some of those relationships that are broken? We can be believers in Christ and have wonderful families of our own and all these different things, and still there's all those broken relationships of the past that still bring in old wounds. What happens if Christ heals us so that we can love well in those relationships? And as far as it goes with us, there's a desire to heal and to come together. And I promise you, for some of those older broken relationships, it's going to take more than once. It's going to take more than twice. It's going to take maybe 10, 15, 20 times of loving when there's no love coming back. How many times do we forgive? 7 times? 70 times? We keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving. This Christmas, let's love well. Let's experience peace and joy because of what Christ is doing in us. And those old wounds, let's see those get healed. Those wounds that are gaping, let's see those become scars that remind us of the goodness of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for Peter. Man, we thank you for all of those who have heard from you and wrote down what you were saying and allowed us to experience hearing from you, to hear from your word, to hear from your heart to ours. Lord, we thank you that you work supernaturally in that whole process. Father, I pray for the people here, Lord, that we would see through this Christmas, we would see healed relationships with those we love but have grown apart from. Lord, do a mighty work. Change us first. Lord, that we wouldn't go in hope that they're going to be changed, but we would pray for transformation of ourselves, that we would pray for forgiveness and healing and being made whole so that we can love them well because of what you've done in us, Lord. Because our identity is not in them, is not in those broken relationships. It's in you and you alone. And that's where our peace and our joy comes from. So, Lord, may this be a holiday season, the time of Christmas and New Year, where we see blessing being given away through us to others, regardless of what's being said. May your words be deep in our hearts, Lord. Change us where you need to change us, Lord. Do what you need to do in our lives right now. Do what you need to do to change us so that we can love others well who've brought hurt in the past. So thank you, Father, for what you're going to do, for what you've already done, what you
are doing and what you're going to do this season. Make us a blessing to many. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.